Well, God bless you. Good morning or good afternoon. I want to get into a story of my life, from my life, but I want to share with you how God became my Heavenly Father, how I learned to call Him Dad. If you'll notice times when I pray, I will always refer to God as my Heavenly Father, or our Heavenly Father, or Dad. And I will never refer to Him by what the Israelites, the Hebrew children, had to do, was they had to refer to God as Elohim and Jehovah. And those redemptive names, there were 10 of them, but that's how they are addressed in the Old Testament. That's how they address God. And even when you get to the 23rd Psalm, you'll see it used there. You'll see 6 of those 10 redemptive names for the Lord, for God, used in the 23rd Psalm. And there are only 6 verses. And it's an amazing set of scriptures. But the reason I go to this is because I learned over the years for God to be a very personal and very dominant figure in my life. And I learned from an early age that God was going to be my Heavenly Father, that He was going to take care of me. And I learned this by the most powerful man I ever knew, and that was my earthly father. I remember one day, shortly before his death, and I didn't know this at the time, but he knew it apparently, but he took me down to the church, and we sat there on the front row of the church. Nobody else was in the church at all. I don't know how he made the arrangements for that to happen, but he took me down there, and he said, "Son," and he pointed to a picture behind the pulpit, and it was a picture of Jesus Christ knocking on a door. And he said, "Gary, that is Jesus Christ knocking at the door of your heart. He wants to come in. He wants to come into your heart and be with you forever. Are you going to allow Him to come in?" Without a beat, I said, "Sure. Yes, yes." And that time, at that moment, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I got born again. So my father, my earthly father, led me to the new birth. When I was, I don't know if I'd reached 7 yet or not, but I knew I was 6 or 7 years old. But one of the greatest things I remember about my earthly father is that he took the time and a very private moment led me to the new birth. Well, as I said, I didn't know he was going to fall asleep. I didn't know he was going to die. But apparently he knew it, or he sensed it somehow. But the next time I remember being on the front row of that church, we were up there with my entire family, and the church was full, and the pastor had just finished saying some words, and in front of us, in a big open box, was my dad, laying in his suit, and I thought he was sleeping. And so I figured once the service was over that he would get out of that box and come back and join us on the front row. He didn't. He did not. Instead, they closed the box, sealed it, and then we took it to the cemetery and buried it. I was devastated. I didn't know what was going on, and no one in my family had told me what was going on. I had never been to a funeral before. I had no sense of what was going on. So what I did was I took what my father had left with me, and that's what Jesus Christ when I let him into my heart, I had an old cottonwood tree, and we had several acres. We were on a small farm. And I would go up to that cottonwood tree and climb out on a limb, and there I would lay and talk to God. I would pray to God. And there, over the next several years, God helped me understand what happened to my father and what death was really all about. And again, no one in my family explained it to me. They didn't tell me what was going on. And so God has always been very personal in my life. So when I pray, you'll always hear me refer to my Heavenly Father, or our Heavenly Father, or Dad. And that's how I'll begin and end each of my prayers, regardless of what I'm praying for. Because God is a very near and dear Heavenly Father to me and in my life. And this is a tribute to, on Father's Day, this is a tribute to God, our Heavenly Father. And I've borrowed a verse from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, which reads, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to be at peace. He wants us to be full of grace. And He wants us to refer to Him as our Heavenly Father. And when we have things that we don't understand, when we just don't know what's going on, I've learned to take those challenges and those problems to Him and lay them out before Him, and to expect my Father to answer the prayers, to take care of them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and from the NIV, New International Version of the Bible, reads, "This then is how you should pray. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now this is something that, as a Christian, nearly every church teaches people to pray. But Jesus Christ was not trying to teach you what to say. He was trying to teach you how to pray. So I'll read that again from the New International Version of the Bible. Jesus Christ is talking to the multitude, and He said, "This then is how you should pray. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." God became our Father in the New Testament. Once we were born again, He became our Father. As a Hebrew, growing up in Israel or wherever they happened to be, it was always the 10 redemptive names of God, or Jehovah this, Jehovah that, Elohim. Once we became a born-again Christian, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He was teaching us that from this day forward, now when you pray, you will do it this way: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We will pray to our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven. When we get born again by confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our relationship with God changes from that of referring to God by His formal names, Elohim, Jehovah, to our Father, our Heavenly Father. And we become a new creation. That's what the Word says. And God becomes our personal Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," if any man be in Christ, how do you become in Christ Jesus? By getting born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things become new. 1 John 1:1 from the New International Bible. My dear children, I write this unto you so that you will not sin. But even when you do, if anybody does sin, we have an advocate, an attorney, a defense attorney, with the Father, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. When we blow it, Jesus Christ goes to God as our defense attorney and says, God, Gary's a good old guy. He really, really is. He didn't mean to do that. Forgive him. And all things are new. All things become new. And our advocate fights for us and on our behalf each time. Psalm 103 from the King James Bible reads, Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. God loves us so much that he just wants to take us up in his arms and hold us and help us. And then I have a picture that I've fallen in love with over the years. And it's a shepherd who's reaching down to a lamb who's they're on a mountainside. And this lamb is stranded on a cliff or on a ridge. And he reaches down, grabs the lamb by the neck, and pulls him up to safety. And then under that I've written, Our Heavenly Father continually rescues us from our daily self-inflicted jams. We're always getting ourselves in trouble, it seems like. But every time we do, we have a defense attorney, Jesus Christ, who fights on our behalf. We have a Heavenly Father who, as the Good Shepherd, reaches down and delivers us from whatever we've gotten ourselves into. 1 John 3:2 from the Amplified Bible. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It is not yet disclosed. It is not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be hereafter. But we know that when he comes and is manifested, we shall be, as children of God, resemble him, be like him. We shall see him just as he is, as he really is. Well, what that's talking about, you can read more about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And starting in verse 11. And it's talking about when Jesus Christ comes back and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall join them together in the air and thus be with the Lord forever. That's going to happen. And that's what it's talking about. As God's children, we shall be like him. For we will see him as he is, as he really is, when he comes back. Well, what about in the meantime? How do we keep ourselves sane? How do we stay out of the devilish things that go on in this world? The mass murders, the coronavirus, all of those things. It begins with taking the time to rest. And that's where we crawl into Dad's arms and say, Father, I've had it. I can't take another breath. I can't take another challenge. I can't fight another battle. Take care of me. Strengthen me. Help me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. When we crawl up into Daddy's arms and we lay out before him and we accept that peace that he's placed within us when we were born again, a peace that passes all understanding and will keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's how we can be, regardless of what's going on around us. It can be a storm raging around us, but in our hearts and in our minds, we can be at peace, knowing that that's God, our Heavenly Father, that helps us stay there, regardless of the surroundings. Make a habit of personal prayer. John Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church, once stated that he had so many things to do in a single day that he had to begin that day by taking 3 hours to pray. Stop and listen to that now. He had so many challenges to face that day that he began those challenges by taking 3 hours out of an already full schedule to pray. Why? Because he knew that God was with him as he faced those challenges, things would go much smoother, much simpler, much easier, because it would be God's strength helping him through the challenges. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, Jesus Christ, went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Jesus Christ did a lot of praying. And I have a picture here in the handout of a young black child who's in what I call his grandfather's hands, and he's praying. And the caption is, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray without ceasing. Now we're going to take a look at the 23rd Psalm, because this, I think, for me, brings it all together. This is where we allow God to become our Heavenly Father. We can take an entirely different look on life. Now, the 23rd Psalm is written by David as God inspired him. And it's only 6 verses long. But in that 6 verses, there are 10 formal names for God, and 6 of those are used in 6 verses. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As my shepherd, as the great caregiver, God is the one who takes care of us, looks after us. So that not only do we not have a need, it says, I shall not want. I shall not want. Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep graze on grass. This good shepherd, God gives us the best to eat. He gives us peaceful meadows to graze in. And then the second part of the verse is, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Sheep are very fearful. They will not drink, or very seldom will they drink from raging waters if the water is moving too swiftly. But this shepherd, our Father, our Heavenly Father, not only gives us a great place to eat and to relax and to lay down, but he leads us beside the still waters. He makes it simple for us to get our needs taken care of. And he provides only the best for us as his sheep. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. God is the great healer. Your soul is your physical body. He restores and heals my soul, my body. Not only does he do that, but he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will not only heal you, but he will take you through the right paths. And there are many paths out there. The devil offers you his path and God offers you his. But if you're following God, the Good Shepherd, he will lead you in the paths of righteousness, the right way to go, for his name's sake. Verse 4, I love this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now I want you to pay especially attention to this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is a time I believe that many of us, we will all go through at one degree or another, but we're all going to have difficult times. We're going to face different illnesses. Right now, in India, the last I heard, there were 3,000 people dying per day from the coronavirus. There are mass shootings going on throughout our country. There are all kinds of days. You know, we are in a valley of the shadow of death each and every day. But it says it's something that we're going to pass through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a time that will end. There will be a conclusion to it. And we won't have to stay there. Now, some people do. You know, some of us take up residency there for years. But God says it's a time that we'll go through when we stay our focus on him, when we look to him. Yes, we're all going to go through those times. But it goes on to say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is going to fight before you. He's going to take care of you. His rod, his club, is going to beat off any foes that come against you. God's got your back and your front. And it's his rod, his strength, that's going to comfort me. And then I love this next verse. And it goes on to say in another way what I've just read to you. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I love that. A man named Clark, who does Bible commentaries, in talking about this verse, says, God prepares a table before us. He lays out a feast at a banquet table. And across the valley from that table, we see our enemies coming toward us, coming after us. Coming to do harm to us. But we sit down and we feast while God fights on our behalf, while he takes care of our enemies, our opponents, those things that challenge us, whether they be physical or mental or spiritual. God takes care of them. Thou anointest my head with oil. In a dry desert land like the East, the most comforting thing you could offer a person was to pour oil on their head, olive oil, on their head, and sometimes you would even put it on their feet to moisten the skin again, to help you to relax and be at peace, to be comforted. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I have to the point of overflowing. Everything that I need. Surely goodness and mercy, verse 6, shall follow me all the days of my life. When God is your shepherd, when he's your Lord, when he's your master, when he's your heavenly Father, then as we go through this life, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because God is fighting our battles for us. He's taking care of our enemies. And then when this life is over, the second part of it talks about, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. There's a day coming when we've gone through all the toils and the battles of this life, and God has taken care of us and brought us through. Then there's going to come a time to rest. And again, this is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. When Jesus Christ comes back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and the trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ rise first, then those of us which are remain shall join them in the air together, and be forever will we be with the Lord. We will go to our heavenly homes, and we will always be in the Lord. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, with me, I'd like for you to help me wish God a happy Father's Day. Because when you look to Him and you make Him truly your Father, then and only then can you say without hesitation, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.